Good morning to you this morning, and bring you greetings in the precious name of Jesus. And I was inspired so much already this morning by the devotions. As a matter of fact, when Travis gave out the song, "I will extol thee, oh my God," I couldn't help thinking that goes right with my message. So I got my paper out and I jotted down the first, because I tend to lose my memory sometimes when I get up front, but I jotted down a little bit of that song. "I will extol thee, O my God, every day will I bless thy name, and I will praise thy name forever and forever." And we can do that because we know that God is forever and forever. So that's the only person that we can, only being, the only power that we can worship forever and ever, because he always is, always was, and always will be. And we can be assured of that. And then his devotions on worship, and kind of goes with what I was thinking about this morning, and that is the reason why we worship. And I thought about, we worship God because of his greatness, of his power. And in my own human mind, in our human minds, we know it's wrong to worship individuals, but probably most of us here, because maybe there's some people that have nobody they kind of look up to, but most of us here have somebody you kind of look up to. Now, we don't say we worship them, but we just think that what they do is probably a good thing. You kind of maybe aspire just a little bit to, and you just kind of honor that person. And God is everything, and we just worship him. This morning I was thinking about beginnings, and I've titled the sermon Creation, and it's not new. And I thought about that when I was studying. I thought, this is not a new thought. We teach our children young the story of creation. But it's just good, I think, for us to sometimes just go back and look again and again, because we get faced more and more increasingly in the world that there's other options, there's other ways the world started. And I was thinking about just beginnings from our own human perspective. You can think about just the beginning, maybe the beginning of your life. And your parents have this little story of, you know, you were born and either you were fussy and discontented, or maybe you were happy and content. Maybe you looked like somebody, and that's referring back to somebody else that was before the beginning of you. Maybe you think about your first job or your first grandchild or your first the first day you were married, and you just think, but there's always before that, there's always a beginning ahead of that. There's just something that was before that. There's something that happened before that happened. So this morning, my thought is that I want to talk about the beginning of beginnings. The beginning of beginnings. And where would you go in your Bibles to talk about the beginning of beginnings? Hopefully, most of you here would know. Just go to Genesis. Who was at the beginning of what we know as the beginnings of beginnings? Who was there? Of what we know. Everything that you think of goes back to a beginning, to something else. But eventually we come back to the beginning of beginnings, and that is Genesis chapter 1. And I was also going to say, this is a little side note from a sermon, but I think Victor made the statement that if you're interested in hearing what was said Friday night, you can listen to it. I'm going to say listen to it whether you're interested or not, because I think everyone could benefit from it. And also, when you listen to it, it'll make a little bit of sense, but he talked about how screens can produce dopamine, releases in your brain and creates an addiction, and how it's similar to the drug addiction, is similar to different kinds of addictions. It's the release of dopamine, and you want more and you want more. And I couldn't help but think when I looked outside this morning, and does springtime release dopamine? I guess it does. It gets me excited. It makes me, I don't know, I just want it. It's just spring. And I couldn't help but think, maybe, I mean, if God put it in there to be released, there's a right time for it to be released. So I think that spring, if spring is creating energy, if spring is creating a desire for more spring, I don't think it's wrong. I think you can be addicted to spring. I think that's okay. I think God created spring for that reason. Anyway, listen to the little thing, and then you'll know a little more what I was meaning there. So we're just going to Genesis chapter 1, and I think we're just going to start by reading it. And take notice the amount of times you see the word God. And also take notice, and I'll comment a little bit after read, on the orderliness and how that orderliness is the only way life can really survive. So in the beginning, God, in the beginning, this is beginning, but in the beginning, God was still there. God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And I thought, man was created in the image of God. And what's the first thing you do when you walk in a dark room? You turn the light on. That's just a human. We want to turn the light on. God said, let there be light. And there was light. That was the first thing. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gatherings together of the water called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, also the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light unto the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree-yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Moving into chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he hath made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. How amazing. Everything that we see outside, everything that God created, it's just, it blows our mind, and yet we can become so used to it that I'm going to go back to the little illustration. You get so used to it that it quits creating that dopamine, or however you say that word, and we just take it just for granted that it's just there. And we need to continually come back and think about the Creator. And we need to look at creation, think about creation. So just looking a little bit at the orderliness of this, and that is that first of all, did you think about how many times I read the word God? So I counted, and if I did not count wrong, I counted twice. I read God 35 times. I read 35 verses, and I read God 35 times. Now, not every verse has God in it, but some of it has two in. And that's, to me, it's incredible revelation of God, how God is mentioned again and again. And God is all about creation. So thinking a little bit about the orderliness of creation, first of all, we have Him making light, which was on day one. And then we have day two, He created the skies and the heavens. So obviously nothing can live on earth if you didn't have air to breathe. So in His orderliness, He created light, He created the skies and the heavens, and then He created earth and all the plants. Divided the waters, the earth became formed, and the plants grew. And obviously, you need the sky, you need plants. And then He made the sun, moon, and stars, the day and the night, and which sets all the seasons. And that stuff has went on and on for years, and we know exactly that it's going to be light at a certain time in the morning. It's going to get dark at a certain time in the evening. And it was established by God in the beginning. It continues on and on and on, and we can plan years. We just know that this is what happens. You can back up so many years ago, and it's because of the way the light comes forth. Also interesting that, and I didn't realize this till recently, that plants, depending on how much light you give different plants, is depends on how much flower they produce or how much stem they grow. So men have figured out that if you give a plant a certain amount of light, and I guess if you grow poinsettias, you know that as well, but that's what makes a poinsettia red, is by the amount of light you give it during its growing stages. If you do it wrong, it won't turn red. So it's interesting that God has designed light and darkness, and plants, we can't have light all the time. We would get, I sleep best when it's dark. And God has made this the day and the night because He knew that His creation, that's what they needed. On the fifth day, He created the birds and all the water animals. Then on the sixth day, He created all the land animals, and He created man. And then it just simply says He was finished. I mean, He created the whole universe, everything that we can see, everything we can wrap our minds around, and it says He was finished. And you have people that say, well, I don't believe the Genesis account of creation. Well, maybe you don't believe the Genesis account of creation, but it's not only in Genesis, in case you didn't know that. Turn over, there's numerous places. I'm not going to look at all of them. But first of all, go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And this is just to kind of establish that God always is and always was. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. God had told Moses to go to the Israelites. But my point is here is that people that try to get away from the Genesis account of creation cannot just take that out of the Bible. You need to either believe the Bible and believe the creation account, or you can't really believe any of it. So Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, when God told Moses to go to the Israelites, God told him to tell the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. He said, I am that I am. God always was. He always will be. He always is. So He was there in creation. I am. He was there. Now you can turn on back to Isaiah. I have a few scriptures from Isaiah that where God says that He created the earth. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and I believe I'll begin reading at verse 25. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding? God, hast thou not known that I've created everything? It's here in Isaiah again. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5. Here we have it again. Thus saith God, the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretcheth them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth bread unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. Thus saith the Lord God that created the heavens. It's not only in Genesis. Going back again in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I am the last. I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundations of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I called unto them, they stand up together. And I like the picture of his right hand that just spans the heavens. Just spread it out. It's just beautiful. God the Creator. Creator is something that's made from nothing. We know about inventions. Inventions are things that people struggle long and hard to finally get there, and they finally produce something. But the Creator just spoke it, and it happened. It wasn't a trial and error, period. So we know God was there on Creation Day, and I'll have a question. Who else was there on Creation Day? Second little thing I want to look at is, in the beginning, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God was there. We can see that from Genesis verse 2. It says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We also know, and Marlon quoted this verse in Sunday school, we also know that the Spirit was there. It had to be more than just God, because we believe in the Trinity, and we'll soon talk about how the Son of God was there as well. But in verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image. So it had to be more than one. Let us make man in our own image. You can get back to Job 26, verse 13. You don't have to turn there. Maybe I'll just read it. Job says, by his Spirit he hath garnished the heavens. So we can see the Spirit of God was there as well, the Spirit. Job 33, verse 4, the Spirit of God hath made me. So who was there? God and the Holy Spirit. Psalm 104, and about read Psalm 104. Psalm 104 speaks all about what God has created and all the many things, and just goes right down through and talks about all the animals, plants, beautiful chapter. And in verse 30 it says, thou sendeth forth thy Spirit, they are created. So we have here that the Spirit was there. Who else was there on Creation Day? Number three, in the beginning, the Son of God. And we can turn to John chapter 1 for this. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word, if you go on down, it says down in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was the Son of God. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit at creation. Interesting enough, Christ also, if you go back to John chapter 8, Christ also referred to himself as I am. John chapter 8, verse I might read verse 53 to 58. Here the Jesus having a conversation with the Jews that and he was trying to convince them he came from God, and they said, "Now you have a devil." And Jesus says, they say to Jesus in John chapter 8, verse 53, "Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, and of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him, I shall be a liar. I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Just as God is I am, so Jesus is I am. He always was, always will be. Jesus is I am. And we can go on back where Paul was preaching to the Gentiles. And I'm just going to read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Paul says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God, who created all things by Christ Jesus." All these things that were created, it says, by Christ Jesus. And we also have in Colossians, it was kind of our Sunday school lesson this morning, but we didn't talk about it much. Maybe didn't get there. But Colossians 1, if you read your text, if you read your lesson text, you would have read this. "Giving thanks," Colossians 1, 12 to 17, "giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." Verse 16 says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him, and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." So all these things we read about were created by whom and for whom? I just read it. It was by Christ, for Christ. And I found this verse interesting in doing a little research just to see how many plants, how many animals, how much does people know? How many plants, how many? So just a little interesting thing. I found that they have names, I guess, for 391,000 different plants. It's incredible. Of these currently known to science, about 369,000, which is almost, is pretty high percentage on 391,000, 369,000, are flowering plants. So all these plants he created were for him, and he created a huge percentage of them with flowers because they're beautiful and they just bring glory to God. And when we look at them, it's beautiful, and it's not something man can create. It's not something you can create. It's not something I can create. But God, it's just a picture. This is what God created, and he created it for himself. It's just bringing him glory. Now, so far, there's about 31,000 of these plants, which is less than 10%, that they actually have decided is food, medicine, building materials, whatever, that man uses. So if that's the case, there's a very small percentage that we can say God created for man and for the animals to eat. The rest of it was created for his glory. Beautiful. And then I can't help but think about the detail of God in his range of size. You know, I think the smallest plant you can just hardly see. It lives on a forest floor, but you just hardly can see it. And then when you talk about the largest plants, you think about the giant sequoia tree, which The largest one is 30 feet wide and 290 feet tall. So just, you can't, Lamar said this morning about his sawmill, and I was back at his place yesterday, he had a 24-inch log, and that log was too big for my sawmill. And I was thinking about the tree that I just read about that goes from that wall to that wall and be five times the length of this auditorium. And I can't wrap my mind around a tree that big, but to God, it's nothing. He can make the little wee plant that takes air and takes moisture and takes oxygen to live, and that he can make the huge, the unbelievable. And yet, for his glory. And we can go into the animal kingdom the same way. There's lots of animals, and they have names for 1.5 million. They estimate there's 7 million, but it's just too hard to find them all. And God created every one, every animal, from the one that they said is a 0.0003 inch, which my tape measure don't go that small, 0.0003 inch, that's just teeny tiny, unto the blue whale that's 110 feet long. And God's created animals with all different abilities, and they eat each other. The system is just marvelous. Oh God, how great thou art. And then we have the solar system. And I think about the visible and the invisible. And I thought thinking about that when you think about the solar system. And you go out at night in the dark and you look up into the sky, you can see so many stars. And then man came out with a telescope to make the invisible visible. So now they can see that many more. But I'm sure that there's still that many more that we still aren't seeing. It's invisible, all the invisible things. So the second part of the message is, what is man's response? What is man's response to this incredible creation, the universe we find ourselves in? Does the viewing of creation release a little bit of dopamine and just get you a little bit excited? Hopefully it does. And I think springtime, with everything starting to green up, that's a special time that we think about creation. But there's a lot of people that you talk to. I don't know if I've ever talked to anyone that says, I just don't like spring. Don't like it. Most everyone likes spring. And can we point them to the fact, can we take this opportunity of spring to point them to the fact to Almighty God, the creator of everything? In Nehemiah, a few of the Bible examples, in Nehemiah chapter 9, where we had a revival going on after Ezra preached to the people. Then the Levites, Jeshua and Kadamiah and several other men said, this is what you're going to have to do. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made the heaven, the heavens of heavens, all the host, the earth, all things that are therein, the sea and all that in therein. That is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. They said, stand up and bless the Lord. Is that our response to his creation? Job's response in Job chapter 26, verse 7 and 8. He stretches out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under him. The earth just stands there. Do you ever see a globe that wasn't attached to a stand? Man can't take a little ball and just sit it there. It has to be attached or hung or something to try to make it look like the world. But God just took the whole universe and just, it's just hanging in space. Then I also was impressed by Job's thought on the clouds, and I never really thought about it before, but we know that water hangs in the clouds and it rides. And it doesn't all, well, sometimes it feels like it almost does, but it doesn't all of a sudden just go like this and poof, and everything would just be, we would be flat, like you dump a 5-gallon bucket of water. But it comes down little by little. God designed that cloud to carry that moisture and to slowly, slowly release it. Turn to Psalm 95. So many, many, many of the Psalms talks about our response to Creator God, but I like this one, I think, the best. It has to do with what Curtis talked about, to worship. We find that in verse 6, but I think I'll just read I'll probably read the whole chapter. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his. He made it, and his hands formed the dry ground. And what's the response? Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Who can stand in the presence of an almighty God? We need to just fall on our faces and worship him. He deserves our worship. He created everything. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Today, we are the sheep of his pasture. He has created us. Let's worship and bow down. Harden not your hearts. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. This truth is all generations. Every generation get back to the same truth. God, Creator. But we also know that there's evidence in the Bible not everyone agreed, didn't believe in God. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Nothing to do with him. And today we have many people that don't believe in creation. They somehow want to convince themselves that things just evolved. And there's a reason for that. As I did a little bit of research on the wonders of the plant and the animal kingdom, they have put together a lot of things, that figures that they have on the amount of animals and all the research. But you know, I don't know, very few articles have anything about creation in it. They want to say that so many hundreds of thousands or so many millions or billions of years ago, this all happened. And I was frustrated by that. And I read a little article that in the World Book Encyclopedia that talked about the evolution came in 1850, was Charles Darwin brought in the evolution thing. And in the early 1900s, they tried to bring that into the schools. And somebody said, if you take, I probably should just read the, can't remember it all, but it's so true. In the early 1900s, public high schools in the United States began to teach evolution in science classes. In the 1920s, creationists, now this is people that believe in creation, not necessarily people that believe in Jesus, but they believe in creation. They proposed laws in 20 states to ban public schools from teaching evolution. They considered the teaching of the theory to be part of a dangerous trend toward the separation of religious beliefs from everyday life. And that is exactly what happened. If you can convince yourself that the creation is not true, you can convince yourself that this is not true, and you can live life however you want. One man I know said, it's just hard for him to believe in something that he can't see. It's hard for him to believe in that. And maybe sometimes we have the same thoughts, but I have a question this morning. So I have a smartphone. And maybe somebody here can explain to me exactly how that thing works. But I cannot explain to you how I can write a message, I can take a picture, and I can hit a button, and that thing will go somehow to the other side of the world within a matter of seconds, and it won't hit anybody on the head, and it won't get mixed up with the thousands of other messages that's being sent, and that person can read it exactly the same as I sent it. It makes no sense to me. So therefore, being it makes no sense to me, suppose I would start writing articles about how that there was a big bang and a boom and the smartphone came into existence. That's the only way it can be possible, because there's no way it makes any sense. Now we get a whole bunch of people that would say, you know, he's right. There's just no way this makes any sense. And can you imagine the feelings of the person that invented that thing, say, this is unbelievable. We spent work and hours, and I can tell him exactly how this thing works. All he has to do is read and believe what he reads is the way this thing functions. And it works. But I'm here saying it just doesn't make any sense. I'm not believing it. I know it works, but there's no way somebody could have created it. It just had to. There had to be something that boom, bang, and it happened. Can you imagine the wrath of Almighty God? The amount of people, when he looks down on his creation and he sees the solar system and the plant and animal kingdom, and they continue to perform exactly the way he created it. Exactly. It's just the stars come out at night, the sun comes up in the morning, the plants, the animals, they continue to perform exactly the way he created it. And man, his last creation and the one that he said, let's make man in our own image. And I just believe that God thought, I'm going to create a being that can consciously give me honor and glory. And it says in verse 26 of Genesis, giving them dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over all the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And then he sees them just rejecting the truth. And they just don't. They look at the sky, they look at the trees, look at the grass, look at all the animals, and they say, somewhere back there, it all started evolving, and eventually it came unbelievable. There's no way that could have happened. There had to be somebody that created it. The creation of God was an act to bring about something that didn't exist previously. And wasn't trial and error. I already mentioned that. It just happened. Do we believe that? The encyclopedia article that I read, I believe is true. People are convincing themselves that they developed from an unknown source and are trying to convince themselves there is no God. They believe that science has the answers, and if science cannot figure it out, it isn't true. And unfortunately, if science can figure it out, it is true. So we believe science. Instead of believing the creation story and seeing the sanctity of human life, they are racing to abortion centers and destroying life that is living and created in the image of God. How sad. Instead of having families, they're convinced that one or two is all they can afford or handle. That's it. Instead of believing that God created male and female, which is established at conception, they believe we can somehow change that and can pick our own gender. Instead of believing that God created man and woman to marry so that new life can be brought into this world, they believe in same-sex marriages, which is one generation from extinction. Instead of believing man was created to care for the earth, and after the fall of man, they need to work by the sweat of their brow, science says that don't work very hard because you'll wear your body out. And I was reminded by that by an example of a 55-year-old man that was an electrician on the job I was at, and his son was there helping him one day, and I said, so you got your son helping you now? Well, he's helping me, but he said, he's smarter than me. He said, he's gone to school, learned to be an engineer. So that he doesn't have to work like I had to work. He said, you know, he said, when I work 2 days in a row and I'm holding stuff above my head and putting conduit, he was putting conduit on the ceiling. When I'm holding my hands above my head and putting conduit on the ceiling, after my arms get sore. You know, I went to the doctor and he told me I worked too hard and I just wore myself out. And I looked at him and I said, I don't know. You can believe that if you want, I guess. But I said, I think if you sat in an office chair for 55 years and you went out for 2 days and put conduit above your head, I think your arms were hurt. I don't think you're wore out. It's just age and your muscles start to ache, but it's not from work. But they say that's it. You just need to. So he said, my son's being smarter. He's not going to work. And I looked at his son and I says, I'm here to tell you there's a lot of people like you. And I think that eventually the hard work is going to be in demand because if the doctors are saying you shouldn't do it and science is right, you probably shouldn't work hard. if you believe science. So in conclusion, what are our thoughts about creation? Hebrews chapter 11 says, by faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which to appear. Is that your thoughts? Is the Bible true, or does science rule? Is God still creating animals, plants, and human beings? How are we going to worship the Creator? Are we going to worship and bow down like we read in the Psalms? Oh, come before me with singing. Let us worship and bow down. How much effort are we going to put into the little creation's children that He puts into our arms? Are we going to pour our energies into His creation, into loving them? Are we going to train them and teach them the truth of God's Word? And I was impressed by that. Had a little thing this week. I was talking with a man. Didn't really know the man real well. We got talking about another man that we both knew, two men that we both knew, older men. Older men that just didn't really believe they needed Christ. They always kind of lived their life. Now, the one man almost died. And when he, after being sedated for 2 weeks and he came back too, he said, I'm thinking about life a little bit differently. And he says, as a child, my parents always took me to church. And he said, my grandfather was a really good singer, and he sang. And he said, one of his favorite songs is It Is Well With My Soul. And he said, after being in sedation for 2 weeks, he said, I got awake. And he said, I looked at the count, looked at the chart on the wall, and the nurse had written which day it was. And he said, I'm sitting there looking at that thinking. Now, another fellow was telling me, I wasn't talking, having a conversation with this man directly. Another man was telling me that he was having this conversation. I know this man. And he said, he just couldn't wrap his mind around what happened to those last 2 weeks. And I think the next day he said he was able to sit up in bed, and he was sitting up in bed, and suddenly he heard his grandfather singing. And he said, I haven't heard him singing in my mind for years. But it was there. As a small child, what we're doing to our children every Sunday, just bringing them here. Bringing them here, taking them to Sunday school, telling them, taking them and showing them in creation, teaching them about God, what our schools are doing for our children. They cannot get away from that. And there's another man that works for us, and this man said about him, he said, I used to work with him. And he said, he can quote scripture. Did you know that? I said, I didn't know that. Never heard him quote scripture. Yeah, he said, he does. He said, he was taken to church as a child and quit when he became a teenager. And he said, the amount of scripture he can quote is amazing. Are we willing to continue investing in our children and teach them? Because it will stick. Even if they leave it someday, they can never, never truly get away from it. Are we going to instill in them the awesomeness of God and the wonders of the world and nature about us? Are we going to teach them that God always was, always is, and always will be? As science continues to search for answers to the many questions that are in the world and publish all kinds of articles with so-called facts, are we going to teach them that the Bible is the true God? I trust that is the desire of each one in this audience. And may God bless you for your attention and for your prayers. And may we continue to listen and believe only to truth. Let us kneel for prayer.